This podcast is a production of 1217 Media.
Christian.
And I'm Amanda. We're the co-hosts of Package for Success, a new podcast to inspire and empower CPG brand owners.
On Package for Success, you'll hear what the show is all about and how we became fast friends, and we spill the tea on our friendship, turn business partnership, and uncover a few secrets to maintaining our sanity in this crazy CPG industry. We also share a few of the ins and outs of our journey, the good, the challenging, and the downright hilarious.
From swapping fangirl moments to braving real-life obstacles of running a national CPG brand, we do it all with enthusiasm, laughter, because our goal is to inform, educate, and empower you. Package for Success is like CPG therapy. So tune in and get ready to talk with real laughs.
Welcome to another episode of Package for Success. Let's unwrap something new together.
Hey, guys. Yay!
Hey, y'all. Hey, how are you doing, Amanda?
I am good. How are you?
I am doing good. Today has been, you know, a rather eventful day for both of us.
Very.
This week is weeking, okay?
Yesterday was the most Mondayest Tuesday ever.
Ever. It's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
You said the Mondayest Tuesday ever.
Yesterday.
Okay, my bad.
Now
it's Wednesday. Yesterday was the Mondayest Tuesday.
It's
crazy. Girl, all of the things are happening, but we are excited to be here for episode 5.
Hey, we got 5 episodes in already.
We are 5 episodes in, which I am so excited about because, number one, let me say I'm excited that we've recorded. Okay,
yeah.
The episodes for the people.
Because
as soon as we launched and let the world know, it's like that's where things just started speeding up.
Yes. Watch this.
Yes.
Go here. You got to go do this. No, we got to do this. The business is you're here. And you're like, hold on. We used to have a day that we could dedicate to this. And like, as soon as we launched, it's like all things.
All the things happened, and I think last week was our first week going not talking.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, it's a very ghetto week.
Yeah.
I think we
were like 4 or 5 days without texting. I was like, what the hell? I'm like, well, who texts first? Like, what if she's busy? Like, obviously she can text because she's busy. I don't know. Like, it was your anniversary, so I'm like, I didn't want to like mess up. Like, you know.
Then it was your husband's birthday, so it was like, I ain't trying to, you know, infringe upon the celebrations. It was a lot. Okay. So this is life. Girl, when you have a podcast with your best friend, but you're still in business and then you got kids and you got a husband. Yes. Okay. So Package for Success in all areas of life. Okay. We're covering that and we're so glad to still have you guys here with us. So this week's conversation that we're going to broach and talk about, which I think is a really, really good one because both have experience in it, is pivoting. Okay. The power of the pivot. So are you pivoting under pressure or are you pivoting on purpose, with purpose, right? It's so important to understand the difference between the two. And we'll give some examples of what pivoting in our businesses and in our lives in general have looked like. Amanda, you definitely have some experience here. And I look forward to sharing like the good side of it, the challenging side, and where we are right now when it comes to pivoting. And our brands and our companies, like, what does that look like for you on a regular basis? Because I think as an entrepreneur, that is something you should be able to do. I don't know how quickly, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a prerequisite. It's like you have to. We've all had to survive and thrive, right? And like pivot through life, right? And I think we forget that as soon as entrepreneurship comes into play, we kind of forget that we've had to pivot for certain things. Your light bill is due and you're like, well, I got to move $50 from over here to pay this over here. So I get that. We know how to do that to survive, right? And then I think when entrepreneurship pops up, we're kind of like, we just see the vision and we want instant gratification. We want instant, because this is supposed to be the saving grace of everything that we've experienced in the past, and we don't want that coming into our business. So it's like, I think we kind of like forget how to pivot, you know, or how to make things work, and we get discouraged. And I think we put so much of our identity into business that if it's not going the way we want it to go, we kind of like self-sabotage before we can even start. And I think I see that in a lot of business owners when they're like, oh, well, I didn't make this sale, or, you know, I'm going to do X, Y, Z. And I'm like, well, hold on, before you throw in the towel, before you quit, listen, we could do this. Like, just, you got to pivot. It might not be the vision you saw at that very moment, but if you do it this way, you can then eventually get there. Like, it's okay to have a job and have a business that you want to be in Macy's one day, or you want it to be bigger than Macy's, or you want, you know, that kind of thing. You can, you can still Uber, you can still DoorDash, you can still do all those things as you're building your business. Like, it's your business. It happens your way. You know what I mean? Like, how it needs to happen.
Yeah, for sure. So to give a clear definition, so we're all on the same page here, because we've heard the word pivot, but I don't know if everybody gets it in the same context sometimes. It doesn't just mean you do what you want to do when you want to do it. It has like a specific purpose and you're intentional. So the definition is completely, in the business context, completely change the way in which one does something. Okay. So if you've been booking your clients through Style Seat, right? Like, say that you're a service-based business and you're a beautician, you've been booking your clients through Style Seat, and you decide you don't want to do that anymore because they're taking too much, you know, of your booking fee. Well, they have booking fees and all this other stuff and cancellation fees that your clients or customers don't want to use in case, for whatever purpose, right? You may pivot and you may say, okay, well, I'm not going to use Style Seat anymore. I'm going to get my own website, you know, built out, but that may change the way that your books look based off of how you manage what you're doing and your flow of service and how much time you have in between clients. So you pivot based off of your need, but you start doing something completely different than what you were doing. Like, say you don't do Style Seat anymore, but you start taking walk-ins, right? You go from having a book full of clients to saying, okay, first come, first serve basis, because I just don't want people being able to cancel. Like, I'd rather just take people as they come in and fly by night, well, fly by the seat of my pants with what my revenue is. It's something to that, of that effect. Like, maybe going from one structure of business to another, using a different process of execution on something, or pivoting from doing one main thing to now offering something else. Amanda, you have a really funny example earlier when we were talking. it was so hilarious to me. Like, what is your take on pivoting, or some examples of what you've seen that's really been different? And then we can get into the discussion of pressure versus purpose when you're pivoting.
Yeah. So I think a good one would be also my example was you walk into an ice cream shop and they're selling chicken salad. And you're just like, well, hold on. You know, like, what are we doing here? Not saying you can't be versatile, not saying that, you know, chicken salad's bad, but for me, instantly, as a person that's been in business, and I wouldn't call myself a business coach or anything like that, but I do, I would say I have some skin in the game. I would think that a business owner at some point pivot under pressure, because they weren't seeing the results that they wanted to see. So they went to their mama's chicken, famous chicken salad that everybody wanted to purchase, or something to that extent, you know? So yeah, but.
So like, for like, let's say in context of our business, so if I went from selling pancake and waffle mix to selling lashes, right? Like, the girlies like lashes. It's
like, on the bundles. Same pancake page?
Same pancake page, okay? While I'm making pancakes, I'm blinking a lot in my videos, okay? And you got to go from the cakes, you know, to the eyes, you know, a lot of in and out. It doesn't go together.
At all.
No.
Just because people commented that they liked your lashes on the live that you did does not mean they're going to buy the lashes now.
That's not the kind of pivot.
Selling pancakes, you're not going to sell lashes. You master selling pancakes, then I'm going to say, hey, open up that second website and master selling lashes, because you did both, right? Because so now you can duplicate that process and do it again. But if you're struggling in one, you're not going to just jump in. There's obviously something broken in there. So don't pivot just
yet. No, that's really good. I wonder, like, how is that looked at in terms of, it's funny that we're talking about this because I'm thinking how it works for celebrities. Like, is it a pivot? Is it seen as a pivot for them, or is it seen like as them like really blowing up and being able to endorse a lot of different things? Like, you're an actor or you're a singer, but you have, you know, you're posting things about body shapers. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, you're posting different supplements or something like that. And it's like, okay, but you are a singer. I didn't know that you also, you know, do X, Y, and Z or have X, Y, and Z. So I wonder if it just goes from being a hustle for some people. Mm-hmm. But for us in business, it's actually, like you said, if one thing isn't working, we just move on to something different. Or if it's like or if this is a difference in the eyes of the public, if they would see their favorite celebrity as an endorser of that versus like, dang, they failing. And what we used to know them for, they falling off. Now they out here endorsing hot sauce, you know? Is it a problem? Or do we only have that mindset for people who are in business who used to be known for doing a specific thing only?
You know who it reminds me of? So Rihanna is one that I could say pivoted in the industry and blew the fuck up. Like, I mean, she was already Rihanna. So she already had the platform, but I think she properly pivoted, because you see a lot of musicians or music artists pivot into beauty industry in some way, shape, or form, whether it be clothes, whether it be makeup, whether it be hair, whatever the case is, they kind of like go, you can see, because there's not much money to be made in the music industry by music, right? Because of the selling and the tours and expense, right? But they'll go into campaign ads, modeling, stuff like that to kind of like bring income, right? So I don't feel like that's necessarily a pivot, right? Because it's kind of like staying on brand. It's just bringing in other sources of income. So it's like having, you know, you're a realtor, but you have rental property, you have Airbnb. It's kind of have like a portfolio of what you do, you know?
Yeah.
But Rihanna kind of said, well, music is what music does, but I'm going to pivot over here to the makeup beauty industry. And she rocked it, you know? But she kind of stayed there. She still like dibbled and dabbled in the music, but she kind of put her whole focus into the makeup side of things and stuff like that. So I think she kind of did it in the sense where it was a pivot in a career change kind of thing for her. But sorry, you guys can hear that, Crane?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Sorry. I'm like, oh, a squirrel. but yeah, I think that was a very, very healthy pivot that she did. And I think she's very happy she probably made that move.
Yeah, I definitely would agree. The funny thing to me is that, the ironic thing, I feel like she's bigger for what she does now than she is for music.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, Rihanna has had some hits, but it is not giving $1 billion.
Fenty Beauty.
Like, that is what you build after. Like, the fact that that's the house that you build after being a singer, like, for real?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a pivot, right? Like, that's pivoting on purpose versus pivoting under pressure of only doing it because your career was sinking, right? Or you weren't getting booked, or you weren't getting the streaming numbers that you needed to. You weren't meeting a certain quota performance-wise or whatever. And now seeing this, it is very impactful, you know, like, for real, to be able to have those kind of examples of what it looks like in that context. I don't know if I know of a business version, though, like, where a pivot has just been like so different from you, a person in business that like went into another industry or arena instead. That's not a celebrity.
I might have to text you. Hold on. Okay. I wonder. So I know for me, I had both.
Well, okay.
I had both pivoting for purpose and pivoting under pressure. And
come on.
So we kind of talk about like in the other episodes and stuff like that, how I was a serial entrepreneur, hustler, whatever the case is. Like, I've had multiple businesses. I've had ultrasound machines. I've did life casting. I've done henna. I've done body painting. I've done cakes in a jar, selling brownies online. I've had my own multi-level marketing. Like, I did it all, and they all failed at some point. And it wasn't because And I don't, again, I don't look at failure as a bad thing. It's literally the first attempt in learning something. And I love to learn, you know? So, so when it came to Yum Crumbs and the whole thing was like taking off and it was time to get a new facility, I wasn't confident in my ability just yet. Even though I feel like I learned a lot, I wasn't confident. So I rented out a unit and I was like, well, let's put a baking class up front. So we're going to call it Baking with a Twist. And it's going to be a class where kids could come in. We'll have summer camps, weekend camps, all that stuff, after school programs. Kids come in, bake, make their cakes. I'm going to teach them. Like, I love doing that. I love doing it with my kids. And so we'll do something like that. So I'll do that up front. And then we can work Yum Crumbs in the back, right? Because I wasn't fully sure if Yum Crumbs was going to be what it is today, you know? Mm-hmm. And so quick, we literally renovated everything, did a bomb ass commercial. I mean, it was the cutest thing. We posted in all the local groups. We were getting buzz. We were getting booked $400 for a week of summer camp. Like, we were like in 12 kids were signing up. It was great. I was exhausted physically, mentally, everything. I was like, how the fuck, right? Oh, oh my God. Can I want to cry?
Well, this is your podcast.
I was like, that was the kind of like strong word.
Profanity there. For success.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And so so then what's it called? So we did all the things. We did a grand opening. Everything went great. But Yum Crumbs quickly took off at that point, and we needed the square footage. We had to expand. Like, so it was like an 800 square foot facility. 400 of it was going to be the Baking with a Twist. The other 400 was Yum Crumbs. So our oven, refrigerator, everything was like smushed towards the back. And quickly we had to pivot and take out Baking with a Twist. I'm talking about like cancel things. We had to let the town know that, hey, we're not doing Baking with a Twist. We're just a you know, commissary kitchen. And we had to transform everything because I wasn't personally going to sit here and teach and educate these kids because it was exhausting. Like, give it up to the teachers because I cannot do that every day. Like, even though I teach my own kids, they're mine. So it's like, they're my mannerisms. They're my behaviors, you know?
Yeah.
But so, yeah, then we just kind of like shifted all to Yum Crumbs and we had to pivot. We had to pivot when we got our first large order and we had to get a second unit because we couldn't, it wasn't that we couldn't afford to move into a bigger unit, but the time it would take for me to go look at other property, for me to move everything over, we had tons of orders. I'm talking about, like, we were getting 100 orders daily. Like, 2021 was crazy for us.
Yeah.
And so we had to get, like, multiple units, like, in the same plazas, just so that way we could quickly expand. So, yeah, those are, like, that was pivoting on purpose, right? And then I remember there was a time where we did do the expansion, but then we had a slowdown. And it wasn't a bad slowdown. Like, now that I think about it, I'm like, oh my God, we could have used that time to sleep, right? But I pivoted under pressure and I opened up a DoorDash account and I started selling cinnamon rolls from our location because I felt like, because I felt like I was like, because, you know, you get so used to being busy and then you just like coasting. And that coast was because we did our job. Like, it was our time to like recoup. And I was like, oh my God, my business is failing. We're going to be doomed. Oh my goodness. You know, how am I going to pay my employees? Mind you, we had a whole 3 months worth of savings in our account. Like, we were good on paper. If anybody else came and looked at it, they'd be like, Amanda, go home and go to sleep. Like, take a week off. That's just great. Like, you guys are caught up. Like, get 8 hours of sleep. But no, I pivoted under pressure and I started slinging cinnamon rolls from that facility.
She said sling it.
It's like, cinnamon rolls, come on, get your cinnamon rolls.
Went back to Baking with a Twist.
Yeah. And they were like, looking, they were like, where do we find you? We're not open to the public. We'll deliver it to you, you know, because we had a whole setup as a commissary kitchen. And that didn't last long. That probably lasted like 2 weeks and then business went back again. And I was like, oh, I panicked for no reason.
No, that's really good. Like, that's really good. That's a great story. And it's a great testament again to the planning that you did, like the vision actually working.
Yeah.
But you freaking out, which I think is so common for a lot of people. I don't know what it is about us as humans that allows us to have a vision know what we want, attract that, align with it, manifest it, right? Until it's our reality. Mm-hmm. And then one little thing switches and we're like, oh no, it's not happening anymore. Like the ball dropped and something shifted and changed and it's not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do hold on to our trauma in every aspect. Like, think about friendships, you know, you get done dirty by somebody else and then you move, mm-hmm. you bring that into your new friendship or your new relationship and you're, what mm-hmm. are you doing? Why, you know, and you're like, well, hold on, you know, like, why yeah. am I doing that? We're not going to bring this. I manifested a great friendship and I'm going to treat it as such, you know, and the same thing where you dreamt this, you visioned this. Why mm-hmm. are you panicking? It's all a part of the process, right? Everything works out in our favor, period. Regardless yeah. of what book you read it from, right?
For
it
sure.
works out in our favor.
Always. Mm-hmm. Always. That is like one of my affirmations that come up throughout the day. I have it on a timer. Things are always working out for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just the mindset that you have to have yeah. and let it work out for you. You know, don't jump in front of your what's next and miss what's now. Mm-hmm. So like for you, like you said, like your resetting, your rest, all of that, you missed that.
I did.
You started selling cinnamon rolls.
And I haven't slept since. I haven't slept in 4 years.
So you think about that and what that looks like for people who pivot under pressure and they miss something else because mm-hmm. they get burned out.
Yeah.
Like that pivot sometimes under pressure can make people literally give up.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this is too much. This is taking too long. You're literally starting something completely from scratch or from new most of the time when you're pivoting. Like what you just said you did as opposed to Yum Crumbs.
Yeah.
Cinnamon rolls and Yum Crumbs have nothing to do with each other.
None.
So at this point, you know, you could have missed a Yum Crumbs boat or train,
yeah.
you know, with the distraction. Now, it's different if that like makes sense and comes together
mm-hmm.
at some point. But the fact that it did and it's so good that you were able to get back into that momentum, like everything swung back around and you were busy again and you ain't slept in 4 years.
Right.
But think about the people who get stuck in their pivot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I thought I made that move because it was going to help me and it was going to shift this and bring quick money or, you know, I was going to be able to share audiences or whatever. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
Now they don't want that because a lot of the times when you pivot, you've already established a brand.
Right.
Like nobody pivots as soon as they start something.
Mm-hmm.
You pivot after a while once you feel like something's not working anymore.
Yeah.
Like what you said.
Yeah.
So Yum Crumbs was doing great. And you were booked and busy.
Yeah.
And then when it slowed down a little bit, you got concerned.
Yeah.
You know,
but
you didn't start
because
your
of past
trauma.
Failures of businesses. Mm-hmm. I was like, I've seen this before. Like, what's going on? And
yeah.
the thought of failure again was like mm-hmm. not acceptable.
Too much.
I probably mm-hmm. in that moment of pivot under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Opens you up to predatory practices, right? Loans, mm-hmm. looking for certain resources that are like 80% payback. Like, you know, like trying to do crazy things.
Yeah.
Without like really stepping back. And I think that's like the key to it. Like not only is pivoting a prerequisite, but discernment is also mm-hmm. a big one, you know, like stepping back and saying, okay, does this really make sense? If I take out mm-hmm. $30,000 and I got to pay back $60,000 in 12 months and I'm only making $15,000 a month, can I really do this? And we'll be like, well, we talk ourselves in. Well, of mm-hmm. course, because if I make this and I'll make that and I'll make this and I'll make that, boom, I'll do it. Because all I need is money.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
You need that mindset change. Because the fact that you even think that you're failing is going to set you mm-hmm. up for failure. The fact that you even think that this is not working out in your favor right then, it sets you up for failure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's when that desperation kicks in and you start doing things mm-hmm. that don't align with your vision and it leaves you open to vultures.
Yeah.
And you do not want that like at all. And that's why, I mean, like another element, which I think social media has done such a huge disservice to so many people, in business and just in life in general, feeling as if though they have to constantly measure what they're doing, what they're achieving or what's not happening for them according to somebody else's story, mm-hmm. you know, somebody else's post, somebody else's reel. And it's like, okay, I feel like there's a healthy balance between inspiration
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to call it competition, but like delusion. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you can be inspired, but don't be delusional by any means. If you can help it, try to walk that fine line of taking things in and understanding how you can apply something to shift where you are, mm-hmm. but don't become a totally new person thinking you're going to get the same result, because that's not what's about to happen.
Yeah.
Like, at all. And so for me, in my mind, is constantly thinking, okay, the people who pivot, it should like go hand in hand with what you already do, what you already offer, what you already know.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't just become a whole new identity separate from what, you know, you used to do, be, have, or offer, because pivoting and evolving is not the same thing.
Oh, that's it right there. Evolving in your business and then pivoting mm-hmm. in your business. So that's key right there. I think that's mm-hmm. where the two can get mixed up, you know, or interchanged when you're really trying to evolve in your business. So for example, like co-packing and manufacturing, well, we already have mm-hmm. a licensed certified facility. So having a symbiotic business is an elevation, right? That's, or mm-hmm. I sell B2B or B2C typically, and now selling B2B, that's an elevation. That's not a pivot,
correct.
Right?
You're still serving
your consumer, your day-to-day consumers, but now mm-hmm. you're service in other areas. So that's a good correct. One to differentiate the mm-hmm. two. Yeah.
The two, mm-hmm. for sure. I know for us personally, we pivoted in, it was 2021, I think, as well, or maybe it was 2022, whenever we launched our short stacks.
Mm-hmm.
I think it probably was 2022. That's when the supply chain was trash. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's about steel, but it's better than it was.
Mm-hmm.
You can get your stuff, you know, easier and more consistently than you could like right after the pandemic. But we were having like long lead times on our bag, with our bag manufacturer that we were using here in the US. They were based out of Austin, Texas. They were awesome. Great company, loved our sales rep, all of the things. They were good. But we didn't need our business at the time to be stunted. Like we were still able to get all of our things that we needed for manufacturing, except for our bags. Like they were like, okay, it's going to be a 4 to 6 week lead time. Now, this was before you plugged us, you know, with Terry. So at the time, I didn't know that like if we placed a really larger order, got our numbers down on how many, you know, how much we were paying per unit, we could like make it work with the lead time, because mm-hmm. we know we got all of these bags coming to hold us for before another one. We need to place another order. Well, at the time we didn't have that information or that resource. And so they're like, okay, well, it's going to take 4 to 6 weeks to manufacture. And then of course you have your week, you know, out for delivery, which is crazy because we're in Austin. So that's like 2 hours away. And we had gone and bought and picked up our bags before. Like we had rented a flatbed and a whatever the thing is you put to the back of your truck.
Oh, like a tow thingy?
Yes.
Tow behind or something?
It was a tow behind, but well, it was a flatbed. It was open.
Oh, okay.
And we literally like got these huge pallets of boxes of bags, like it was crazy. So we've done it before with them, but that wasn't something that was feasible for us to like have to drive to Austin 3 hours away just to do that, you know, mm-hmm. On a regular basis at the time. And so anyway, we wanted to roll out new flavors and we're like, okay, we have these bags designed, but that's going to hold up our time like mm-hmm. to expand and to grow. And I'm not interested in that. We had what we needed for our classic flavors. Like we had an abundance of bags for that. We wanted to roll out new products. And this is where it becomes a problem for me, because I am not a dependent.
Right.
Okay. Last time I was a dependent, I lived in my mama's house.
Right.
I am not a dependent. So if I feel like anything in my process with my business is stunted because of a third party, I want to swing. Okay. I'm very upset because I tried to put the, you know, the company in a position to where we're ahead of what's coming, you know, like not behind and we're reactive. It's about being proactive as a CEO at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was like, okay, we have our bags designed. We have all the ingredients that we need. We're ready to manufacture these products, to drop them, to launch, do pre-orders, whatever. But we're waiting for a third party bag manufacturer.
Right. Like waiting on me is one thing. Like I'll make y'all wait. because I say so, but not because you say so.
Not because you say so, because at that point, my business is in your hands.
Right.
And that's not fair to me. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started doing my research on, okay, what can I do that would still allow us to roll out flavors at our convenience, still be functional, and we can, you know, like be very innovative with the messaging and all of that. And that's when, girl, I was scrolling on Uline one day. I saw these damn containers. I was like, I could get that. Okay. And a stack of pancakes are referred to as short stacks.
Yeah.
So I was like, we're going to do short stack containers and we're going to have a collection of a variety of new flavors that we can roll out at our leisure. We have a local printer that we already use for some of our labels. So we already know that we can get them to print our labels on demand, right? Mm-hmm. So we have a 24 to 48 turnaround with them on our syrup labels. So Courtney sent over design work, redesigned the bags, changed it to, the label that we have now for our short stacks. And they were like, oh yeah, we can do this. They gave us a great deal on our labels. So we were like, let's roll it out. Our classic flavors are still in packaging. They're still in pouches. Mm-hmm. But these short stacks has opened a totally new stream of revenue for us to be able to launch flavors that ain't nobody else got on the market in pancake mix.
Yeah.
And we're not behind the eight ball on what we can or cannot do because a bag manufacturer said so, you know? So that was a pivot that made sense for us. We didn't stop selling altogether one thing, you know, or move on to something else, selling popcorn seeds or something. Mm-hmm. We just changed packaging. We went a different route to still get a product to consumers, a new product. Innovation still happened. You know, the evolution of our brand still continued. And now with that makes us way more viable, you know, in so many different areas. Like, dang, y'all got variety nobody else has. And you guys are trying things and launching things nobody else is thinking about. Because I'm not playing the same timeline game y'all playing.
We're the obvious you know? Choice and we're going to bring it to the market first. That's what you have to do. You know? You have to be that innovator that brings it to the market first. Yum Crumbs was the first in its commercial market. Like, there was DIYs, there was people selling it on Etsy, but I was like, I'm going to be the first one to bring it to the market. Like, this is not going to be a DIY kind of situation. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a commercial brand, the same way Sprinkles is out. And that's what I visioned. And that's where we got, you know. But we had a pivot too. We used to be in jars. Our jars, though, we got them from China.
Okay.
We used to get big box shipments, got them for like 5 cents, right? Neck too, if you want.
I was going to say, we got to look over there too, honey.
And we were getting a lot of, so like, they were bulkier. So if we were shipping out six different flavors of crumbs, we would have big boxes and then we would have to like bubble wrap them, this, that, and those still come out busted, the cap will break or something like that. So it was like different things. And then having like a fresh seal on them where we had to have like a band on it. So we were constantly like heat sealing the band. And it was, it wasn't working in our process. And then the boxes, because we were ordering so much from the manufacturer, we had, I would say, about 70 boxes of each size, and these boxes were huge. So one of those pivots of getting another space within our complex, because we were in 800 square feet. We had to get 1600 square foot
just for that
unit right down right in the same plaza to store all of our bottles.
Inventory, your packaging. Okay.
So
I
was like, well, what about bags? So I had asked the customers like on Instagram and stuff, like, hey, what do you guys think about bags? They're like, I don't know about the bags. And I was like, the bags are just gonna be so resourceful and practical.
Yes.
You know? And I'm like,
yes.
But then to price it to have every flavor design the bag and having like, you know, a 10,000 minimum, same situation. We're going to be limited to what flavors we can have. So I was like, so we designed a bag that literally just pop a different sticker on the back
Universal.
Of nutritional facts. And it's the same. Mm-hmm. And then each size will be a different color, a different, you know, feel of it. And that's worked great. And we've done it for almost 3 years now, you know? And so, and now we have new bag designs that we're going to do for like limited edition. And we get to play around with it now that I have a, you know, on-hand graphic designer. I'm so pumped about that. I'm like, I can literally have someone I can be like, hey, I don't have to sit there in front of the thing for hours. Like, well, should I circle go over here?
Like, nope. Release yourself.
There's more. Thank you, Courtney. But But yeah. So that's a pivoting. I don't even think it's a pivot. Well, I think the moment of conflict, it was a pivot, right? And I think then it evolved mm-hmm. our business because now we're on shelves in bags everywhere. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I mean, like, that's definitely a pivot, because when you think about being retail ready, and that's going to be a totally new, you know, yeah. episode. We're going to have to bring y'all a retail ready discussion, what it took for us to be retail ready. Ooh, Shouse. I still. Trigger PTSD. Okay. It's giving RTSD. Retail. I am really having retail traumatic stress syndrome. Yeah. It is a disorder. It's happening. But yeah, I still have the barcodes, like the paper barcodes, the little stickers that we got after we got our barcodes from GS1 child.
Yes.
We was just so green. And I ain't end up putting them barcodes on that NAM bag ever.
No.
Do you hear me? No. Because by the time we were really retail ready, because those silly brokers we had hired, if they ever hear this episode, okay, I want a refund immediately. Okay, I will send you my Zelle. You know who you are. they should not have collected one retainer from us,
because
they didn't get us in nothing. But the point is, like, the pivot, like, knowing that you went from those containers to bags when you did, will set you up
mm-hmm.
to really be different. Like, because I feel like the pouches have taken over. Okay,
they have.
The pouches.
Yeah.
Have come through with the convenience, the flexibility.
Yeah.
So many people are doing it for teas, for coffees, for mixes, yeah. mm-hmm. for crumbs, right? Like, everybody's doing it. And I think that the beauty of that is the accessibility.
Yeah.
I feel like they're very accessible. There are a lot of companies now that are able to print them. Mm-hmm. And even if just accessing them and putting your label on them to start, that's how we did it at first. It's the beauty of not having those barriers mm-hmm. to getting started. That really is everything. But at the same time, understanding that long term for you to not have to rent a second space just to put the boxes of containers in, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Or keep up with those different SKUs of sizes, a 16 ounce, a 32 ounce, or whatever size bottles you had to have. How can we simplify this?
Right.
You know, how do we make our packaging universal and just put the flavor label on the back? Versus, that was another lesson we learned early on too, like, we were getting our dates printed on our bags, like, when they were manufactured, girl.
Mm-hmm.
We got April 1st, 2021 on the back of over, what, I want to say 30,000 bags. Girl, I was sick. Do you hear me? I was sick.
Yeah.
And then, girl, when March came in, them bags were still in that warehouse. Oh, Lord. Why we go down?
That's nothing. I had a misprint. Misprint on it. And this is the new version of it, mm-hmm. thankfully, because we had over 30,000 of the misspelt. It was like, I don't know how nobody caught it, but refrigerate was spelt wrong.
Uh-huh.
And I could have cried, but I pivoted. I was like, we ain't throwing these shits away. So what we did was, we had this back label here. We just, mm-hmm. it was the last line that was misspelled. So we just covered the last line, because there should have been no refrigeration on there, period. But but yeah, so we had to pivot. Like, but some people would let that tear them down, right? And that,
yes.
You can't let that shit tear you down. I know other people were looking like, that's a lot of misspelled. I don't know what to tell you. They're going out.
Like that definitely, that's how I knew about that RD, is it RDF or whatever that gun is that I told you about for the dating?
Uh-huh.
Because I ordered it, and when I had ordered it, I was like, okay, Courtney, let's see if it works on the bag. And you could put in characters. So I was able to create like a black box, like just straight across.
Uh-huh.
And put it over the April 1st, 2021 date.
Look, see?
And then, girl, resourceful. I will tell anybody, if I ain't nothing else,
right?
I'm resourceful. You want me on your team, because I'm coming with some ideas.
Yes.
They some plots, plans, and schemes that Todd set up to come at us with the bull, because I'm going to do it.
Yes. Oh, my God.
And I shipped all of those bags out. They're gone. They're at your house or maybe in your trash. I don't know. But you didn't call me and ask me, is these out of date? Because now with the stroke of alcohol, it would have revealed that date. But they weren't outdated. I promise you. I didn't ship out anything that was expired.
Right.
No, I just had predated bags because in our mind, that was our first launch into retail.
Right.
So we had just went into Jewel Osco and we were just trying to stay ahead of the game. Like, so we didn't have to put it on there ourselves, like mm-hmm. by hand. And we were like, let's get them printed on the bags. And so we did. And it was like, they ordered what they wanted, but then we still had all these other bags mm-hmm. like that were 18 months post-dated. And the thing about it is when you're selling anything, you don't want your product to appear to be a short sale.
Right.
Like, even if it's not, even if you just filled it last week, but your date, your packaging says April of, well, let's say 6 months from now, mm-hmm. it says September or October, you're really telling your consumer they only have 6 months to eat this product.
Right.
Best if used by is a suggestion of use by that date. It doesn't mm-hmm. mean it's bad by that date unless it's milk or something like that.
Right.
But a consumer don't see that. All they think is, I only got 6 months to eat this pancake, man. Nah, baby. Send me a new bag. And they will email you.
And then they'll sit in the cabinet for 6 months.
Yes. So it's like, what is your problem? Leave me alone. So it definitely is the power of pivoting.
Yes.
It's the pressure versus purpose. And you know, every time as the business owner, as the visionary, what your intention is. Mm-hmm. And if you stay in the focus of sticking with your vision and that strategy that got you to where you are versus, you know, trying to pivot under pressure and become something that you're not, something that you really don't feel, something that you really don't connect with, you don't really want to do consistently or long term. You're only trying to do it to make it through the next month, the mm-hmm. next week, the next day. You can find yourself probably out of business and not doing anything
right.
in the next 30 or 60 days. Mm-hmm. So you just want to be careful with that for sure. So long term, Amanda, do you see, or not long term, but currently, do you see yourself having to make any more pivots in the near future?
Well, so
or do you have a strategy that you're sticking with?
Yeah, so I think I'm down for the pivots. Mm-hmm. I'm down for the motion. I'm down for the cause. When I say it's blood in, blood out at this point. We've given way too much, but I think we've pivoted enough and have gained like this understanding, right? Like it's mm-hmm. like me and the source are like, listen, we know where this is going, so we're not going to fuss at each other no more. So when I do have a roadblock or something like that, it's easy for me to say, okay, what am I trying to learn here? What's the thing here? And I think we set ourselves yeah. up to continue to grow and continue to pivot as needed. Just with anything, whether it be like, you know, if we do run into, which we're not, but if we ever did run into issues with Yum Crumbs, we have a 10,000 square foot facility that we can start mm-hmm. manufacturing other products for. And I know how to do that because food science is my thing, you know? So it's like yeah. product development is my thing. But we've also branched out into other ways of stream of incomes, whether it mm-hmm. was, you know, rental property, you know, purchasing, starting our wash and fold, things like that. And not because yeah. it's pivoting out of fear. At this point, we branched into other avenues. Yeah. So if we did need to pivot or anything, I think we are able to foresee, I'll say that, we're able to foresee mm-hmm. better or forecast better what the future holds. Mm-hmm. So like getting this deal with Webster on, mm-hmm. we know that this is going to be an expanding of our capacity. So what are we yes. going to do to minimize the process and the lead times mm-hmm. to make sure we're getting paid rapidly so yeah. that we're not falling into that. So our bag printer or, you know, hiring mm-hmm. people now at part-time to get them trained or, mm-hmm. you know, just certain things like that. So I think we're doing better now as yes. we're fitting into ourselves and, you know, being molded as a bigger company now, like as, you mm-hmm. know, where we're at to like start forecasting better. So I think we're good. Yeah, so I think good. We're ready to go with wherever the motions are taking us and keep expanding mm-hmm. how we need to. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you guys? Good.
I definitely would say I don't foresee any pivots mm-hmm. in the near future. What I do see is the same, a lot of expansion. And evolving.
Yeah.
So like the evolution on both sides, because there's demand that I want to be able to meet. I think like internally I've been kind of like pushing against it. Like, no, I want to just focus only on Vicky Cakes, mm-hmm. like what we do and how we're growing for that brand itself. But there are just a lot of opportunities and interest, like you were talking about, if you ever decide to branch out into or evolve, you know, into manufacturing for other products or other companies, mm-hmm. right? So that's where we are with wanting to expand in that direction.
Yeah.
Like with our manufacturing side, that's not the Vicky Cakes brand, but if the opportunities are there, I want to manufacture for other people. Honestly, low key, I love private labeling. I yes. love manufacturing and just being background, because you don't have to do the marketing side of it. Right. You don't have to push it or promote it or sell it or pitch it. It's like, you just want me to make you how much of what? Mm-hmm. Say less. Invoice sent. Ain't nothing starting until I'm paid.
Right.
So it ain't no net terms on that, because you know you're not getting your product till I get my payment. Mm-hmm. We're on the same page. Yeah.
Right? Exactly. And it's symbiotic to what you're currently doing. So it's like,
yes,
it's having a different LLC or different bank. And mm-hmm. all, it's like literally just, it helps you continue to grow.
Continue to do what you're doing and flowing in the processes that you've already put into place, and continue to just flourish in what you're comfortable in. So I don't have to like strengthen any muscle, right? Like mm-hmm. I can do that. Like somebody's saying, can you do 1500? Okay.
Yeah.
Challenge me, please. Yeah. Like, don't offend me.
And we got our order from Webster on, and mm-hmm. it's a substantial amount. Like, if it was me in our other warehouse, I would have panicked the fuck out, right? Ooh.
Okay.
Go cussing. I cussed way more than you this episode. So I would have been right, because. But I think wearing Shark Tank and launching in Michaels that same damn week mm-hmm. has prepared yeah. me. It gave me a bigger capacity mentally.
Yes.
So when the Webster on came, I'm like, oh, that's all. Delson sees and he's like, oh my God. Like, and he's like freaking out. He's like, we're not gonna sleep. I'm aww. Like, hey, we got this. I'm like, we can do that in a week. Listen, because now I have processes and structure.
Yes.
And so I'm like, no, we're gonna do, and I set up I have like a production worksheet here. Mm-hmm. Tells me like how many batches I'm gonna be, how like, our bakers are gonna do, when they're gonna do, on what days, what racks they're gonna be on, what, you know, all that great stuff. So
come on, sis.
Yeah. So now our capacity increases. So I'm like, bring it on. Like,
let's
get some more.
Let's go. So the pivot, I mean, like, we can pivot on purpose if we want to, right? But the goal is to not have to pivot, because you're focusing on the vision, okay?
Yeah.
If you have to pivot, let me tell you what you want to have, okay? You don't want to have desperation.
Mm-hmm.
But like Amanda said earlier, you want to have discernment, all right? So if you have to pivot, you want a clear mind. You want an open heart to receive whatever that looks like for you, mm-hmm. right? You don't want to shut yourself off to opportunities and just doing something different. And you want to be open to that. And clarity of mind comes from you really shutting out the noise, like asking other people for their feedback. When you are in business, I ain't trying to be rude. The only person you really want feedback from is your customer base.
Right.
People who have spent money with you, or people who will spend money with you, mm-hmm. or people who have done what you want to do and exceeded at what you want to do.
That's what I was going to say, because having you as a business bestie in the beginning, because now we just best friends locked in for life. But before it was like a business bestie kind of thing. And I remember in 2022, prior to Wawa, I called you because I'm like, listen, you've mm-hmm. been here. Even with Good Morning America, I called you and I was like, you mm-hmm. know, because you've been there. So it's like, sometimes it is good to get counsel out, but knowing who you're getting it from, right? Because I don't call. No one can say they know Young Crumb's business or what Young Crumb's next move is besides Christian.
And vice versa.
That's it. You know, nobody else knows. They're like, oh, I didn't know she was going to do that. Oh, I didn't know she was going to do that. Because I don't tell any, mm-hmm. Because I've been here, done that, right? So if you're not doing, if you're not in the same field as me, there's no point of asking, you know? And so mm-hmm. having someone to do that can help you gain clarity. Because even if it's not necessarily me taking your advice, it's me understanding mm-hmm. your perspective. And now I could take that perspective and move mm-hmm. in. And now I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go this way that I was choosing, but mm-hmm. I'm going to keep an eye out for this to happen. You know what I mean? I'm going to see if I can negotiate the terms instead of accepting mm-hmm. their their outrageous terms, you know, things like
right.
that. So,
right. Yeah. Yes.
I think discernment yeah. And having, and it's good to have that one. It's even if it's just one person, mm-hmm. just having one person yeah. that can say
one person,
maybe, and you take what you want and leave what you don't.
And that's absolutely correct. And you control what that looks like for you. So, everybody's input is not mandatory, but your voice is the final say. So you want to just be in a safe place where you can do that clearly and efficiently for your growth and your longevity yeah. and whatever it is that you do. So, I think that this was a great conversation. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was I definitely enjoyed.
Yeah. It was definitely like a phone call conversation. Definitely just flowed as if you were just chit-chatting.
Yeah. So I think that it's always good when we can have these conversations and enlighten each other, share our experiences and our encounters, what we have been through, what we've done in those situations, and what we would do now or what we are doing now. And if you're even in that season, how does it apply to you? So hopefully you guys got something out of it. And yeah.
So now well, when they listen, can they leave a comment on like what they listen to? Because I would love for them, or we just need to get our community up so that way they can comment.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I would love that.
Is on like, do you need a business bestie and you're thinking about pivoting? Mm-hmm. Let us know. Like send an right. email, contact@pfspodcast.com mm-hmm. and send us, you know, we'll let you know, we'll read it over and we're going to look on it on a non-biased view and we can let you know yeah. what we would do in that situation and you take what you want and leave what you don't mm-hmm. and see how we can help you as business besties to help you pivot with purpose and not pivot with fear.
Absolutely agree. So follow us on Instagram, the Package for Success podcast. We have our page over there. We're going to start posting some clips, some questions, some quotes, and all of the good things to come. And yeah, that wraps up another episode of Package for Success.
Sweet deal.
A huge thank you to our incredible people listening to us today, our guests of honor, which is you, because you're at home. Maybe you're driving. Maybe you're cleaning up. Maybe you're at your desk at your 9 to 5, you know, ready to shut it down and move around. But whatever you're doing, we're so excited that you decided to join us. And hopefully these stories and journeys that we are sharing reminds us all of the power of perseverance, innovation, and leadership.
Yes, we thank you so much for joining this journey with us. Your support not only fuels this podcast, but it also celebrates like the achievement of CPG brand owners or those inspiring who are making significant impacts in this industry. So together we're building this community of leaders, innovators, and change makers.
Yes. Remember, success isn't just about your accomplishments in life, but also about who you inspire and what you inspire others to do. So keep pushing forward, keep innovating, and most importantly, keep supporting each other. All right?
Yes.
Yes, we do. We don't hate. We don't hate.
Right. Okay?
We collaborate.
Yes. So don't forget to subscribe to Package for Success on your favorite podcast platform. Share with your friends and colleagues and those who might find inspiration and insight from this.
Yes, indeed. Until next time, keep leading with courage, creativity, and compassion. And here's to your success, packaged beautifully and uniquely, just like you. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is a production of 1217 Media.